step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 851. I am, as I always am, Lisa Sheps, and I am joined by someone who is always Nicole Shiro.
I am.
You're listening to the two of us at KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. This streams live all around the world at KOOP.org.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up.
It is Wednesday, November 19th. On the show today, we have the City Theater Company and their show, Other Desert Cities. And later on, we'll be speaking to our friends at Color Arc Productions and their show, Stories About Unique Jobs. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, Chicago, New York, Albuquerque, and points northeast. Stick with us.
Times have been good.
I don't know what's northeast of Albuquerque.
Something. There's a lot northeast of
there
Albuquerque.
There is, because it's southwest.
Yeah.
Well, not half the U.S. I'd say about.
I'd say about
a fifth
half
of the U.S.
considering it's west of the center of the U.S. So yeah.
No,
that's more than half.
Oh, did I say points east? I said west.
Oh, anyway. I thought you said east.
No, I said west.
But yeah, okay.
Anyway,
nope.
Hi, Nicole Shiro. I'm checking in with you on this cloudy. Yet
it is
summery
weird
day.
And so I didn't pack my sunglasses, and then all of a sudden the sun came out. I'm like, of course.
Well, you know what,
that's what always happens.
Sun will come out tomorrow.
Well, that's what that little Annie says.
That darn little Annie.
Bet your bottom dollar.
I would like to take this moment to thank Kim Simpson for another amazing international folk bazaar.
I love
I'll
Kim
tell you what
Simpson.
Many of the songs he plays I don't understand.
Well,
the lyrics,
it's international,
it's bizarre,
it's folky
and bizarre. Let's introduce the folks that are sitting here with us. How does that sound to you?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Introduce the
great
people.
We have Tracy Arnold. Hi, welcome back, Tracy.
Thank you.
And the incomparable Tim Blackwood.
Thank you very much.
Welcome to the show. We had lots of activity on the Great White Way and nearabouts. We had a couple of openings on Broadway. I'm going to talk about the first that I'm not going in order. Because I played music from Chess, which just opened. Are you a Chess fan? Anybody a Chess fan? I'm not talking about the game. I'm talking about the show.
I have so many
I like
thoughts.
The music in the show, yeah.
Yeah.
I do, too. I do as well.
I need Aaron to stop trying to make his viral stuff happen. He's on social media and he's driving me nuts. And I love that guy.
That.
And I'm like, you're killing me right now. Stop.
I don't see any.
Oh, he's, yeah.
So I was lucky enough. I saw the original on the West End, and then I saw it again when it opened on Broadway.
Which was very different than
they were very different
West
and
End version. And this one is different also.
What I liked about the West End, they did not bring into New York. And what I liked about New York didn't happen in the West End.
Yeah.
So this is a different, a relatively new book as well. So the Did They Like It aggregator had, 9 + 6? 15 reviews. Most of them, 9 of them were middle of the road, 3 were positive, and 3 were negative.
Yeah, I think they were more middle of the road than anything. I love the show, I love the music, but it's one of those shows that still, it's not really a great show. So yeah. I don't know, without redoing the entire show, how are you going to make it that much better?
Well, and also, it's a love triangle around two chess players, one from the Soviet Union and one from the United States, and a woman, I think she's a reporter or an arbiter. She's not the arbiter.
No, I think she's a reporter. I think. I don't know. It's been
anyway,
a while since I've seen
it. In this case, played by Lea Michele.
Yes.
And then it also starred Aaron Tveit, as you just mentioned, and Nicholas Christopher. Nicholas Christopher evidently is pretty amazing.
He's a little
handsome. He was in Hamilton.
I was about to say, he's got some chops.
Do you know who he played in Hamilton?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Sorry.
Anybody? Mm-mm. No? You ever seen, do we like Hamilton?
Yes,
and we're
going to
talk
okay.
about Hamilton later.
Oh, yeah.
So I did something. Normally, I just read the New York Times review. But since it was middle of the road, I decided to read one of the positives. And I read the review by Austin Fimano from the New York Theater Guide. And this was interesting. Their reviews are interesting. Very interesting. They have like summary pages. And towards the end of the review, they have a whole section on who should go see this, what age, and just like FAQs, which I found was kind of interesting. But this was also originally written by Tim Rice with music by Benny Andersson and Bjorn Uveus, otherwise known as ABBA.
ABBA.
And
Bjorn's fun to say, though.
Bjorn, yeah. He doesn't like it. And who doesn't like those little two dots over the O?
Yeah, I love saying Bjorn.
That's not an umlaut, is it? Umlaut something else.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, nobody
knows.
The two dots. Anyway, it opened at the Imperial Theater. And this has a new book by Danny Strong and directed by Michael Mayer. So lots of powerhousey people.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And they're saying the biggest draw of this were the three leads.
Yes.
And it seems like in this critic's mind, Christopher proved the vocal heart of the show, liked him the best.
Yeah. I had a feeling.
Yeah.
But
It's a 2-hour and 40-minute show.
Mm-hmm. They like the long shows these days, Lisa.
Yeah. She does, I don't know whether, they do say, but for those who go to Broadway musicals hoping to hear actors perform songs so powerfully you get goosebumps, you'll find it there. So again, to your point, Tim, it seemed like the music was... Again, the key here that
the music
people,
is great.
People liked it.
Yeah.
Yep. But what I think is interesting, so with the Soviet Union not being the Soviet Union anymore, I believe they modernized it, and the whole conceit had to do with the Soviet bloc. I think it took place in Russia?
Yeah.
Yeah. So and there was that whole thing around the idea of the Soviet Union and the Soviet bloc. And it dawned on me as I was reading this, I was just speaking to someone the other day about a neighbor of mine who just passed away, and he escaped from Soviet bloc Poland. He like disappeared. He didn't tell his wife or kids he was going. And then he couldn't. He escaped to the United States and brought them here a couple of years later. But I was telling this to someone, and they just had this blank look on their face, and they said, why did they have to escape from Poland?
I had this conversation recently when I was talking about Baryshnikov and talking about him, and they were looking at me like I was nuts. I was like, people.
And then I mentioned, well, it was part of the Soviet bloc. Blank thing was still there. I said, you know what the Soviet bloc was? And they didn't.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. So one of the other things that this particular website does is it offers, they either comments from the audience. And one of the comments from the audience was, the whole production felt simultaneously overblown and undercooked, but if you're a big fan of music and just want to hear it beautifully sung, you will enjoy the show. That was from show score user Jim Bob 4057.
I love it.
And then also, I'm not going to read these, but I just found it interesting that...
I mean, that's why I've always gone and seen the show, is for the music. Mm-hmm. I'm not going in, like, it's okay.
Yep. When I looked at the, did they like it, aggregator, which has a lot of different things. And they had two reviews from New York Stage Review. Melissa Rose Bernardo's was positive, and Bob Verini was negative in the same newspaper.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's it. Let's see what some of the other critics said, if I can get this to move. AM New York, Matt Weinman said, as drama, chess remains a puzzle. As a concert, though, it can be thrilling. In this production, that's what ultimately wins. Chris Jones of the New York Daily News said director Michael Mayer knew what he was directing, and aside from casting the show perfectly, he just turned up the brightness and definition on what has always been a guilty musical pleasure. Robert Hoffner said, Tveit delivers the best stage performance to date and emerges here as the only sympathetic character.
I don't think it's his best stage performance to date.
Well, this is just one person's opinion.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to wonder how much has the guy seen.
Robert Hoffner, I think, has seen a lot.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Adam Feldman of Time Out New York said, Christopher is not yet as well known as his co-stars, but this performance may change that.
Ooh, that's
blah,
nice.
Blah, blah, blah. Yep. So Chess, that one is done. The other one that opened on Broadway was Oedipus.
Oh, yes.
Who's familiar with the source material by a young Sophocles?
Yes, yes.
Raising your hand does not work on the radio.
That's with the Leslie Mann.
That is with the Leslie Mann.
I love her.
And
Hunter's working on this also.
And Mark Strong.
Yes, and Mark Strong. But I love the Leslie Mann, so I had to.
So are you an Oedipus fan?
I did Oedipus when I was in college.
You did?
The whole Oedipus.
Did you play the mother?
That's a lot of.
I played Antigone.
Oh, okay.
That's
I like to call it Antigone.
A lot of Oedipus.
Yeah.
So this is an updated version. This review was written by Alex Selesky. She made it a New York Times critics pick. Oh, the aggregator of Did They Like It had 13 reviews. 10 were positive. 3 were middle of the road. So all in all, very, very positive. The podcast I listened to, this drove me a little crazy. They need to know what y'all think. This is a tangent, or is what we like to call it, a side tangent. The podcast I listened to talked about this. This came over from the West End, and in London, they say Oedipus.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So during his whole review, he changed it to Oedipus, and that bugged me.
I've heard a few people here calling it Oedipus, too.
Yeah, they're wrong. Anyway, she writes, Alexis Selesky is another name that's fun to say. What do we want from our candidates and what will we forgive them? Adultery, corruption, fraud convictions, sexual abuse accusations, bankruptcies, financial and moral. Americans have overlooked all these and worse, given enough political clout and charm. But a candidate who kills his father and beds his mother's, this may be delinquencies too far. So this is set in a modern era around an election. And he changed it up. And I'm not familiar with the source material because I haven't read it. I'm not a big fan of Greek tragedy. Although I do have a Greek chorus living in my house. Oh, darn it. Sorry. I just went somewhere else. I looked up the pronunciation of the writer and director's name. And now I can't remember what. Oh, it's Ike. It's spelled I-C-K-E.
So it looks almost like
it looks like Ike. Anyway, yeah. It's pronounced Ike. Anyway, he put a prologue to it that sort of changed the timing of it. And I don't really know what that is. So anyway, but he says, she says in the review, quote, Ike's change in timeline trades catastrophe for suspense. Ontological disaster for down to the cuticles nail biting. Is this a fair exchange? Maybe. Is it electrifying? God, yes. And the results are slick, seek, mordant. It's a spine tingler, if not quite the ethics tangler of the original. I don't know. I wouldn't think a spine tingler and Sophocles in the same sentence. Tim, how familiar are you with this play?
I like Gospel at Colonus, which I believe is based off that.
Oh, I think
play.
It is.
Yeah. Yes.
So I enjoy that show. I've never seen.
I haven't either. Oedipus. I'm with you. Oedipus.
Oedipus. I like that you just zinged her and did that. That was great. That was great.
So one of the things that I found interesting is both in this review. In Matt's podcast, he was talking about people in the audience they were sitting near were, when it came out that she was his mother, they were all shocked. And it's like, really? It's a spoiler? In Oedipus?
Okay, you were just saying people didn't know about the
true
Soviet bloc, so you're surprised by them not knowing Sophocles? Like, come on now.
Mark Strong is playing Oedipus, and she says he is strong and sturdy and assured and telegenic. Jocasta, as the mother, is played, as you most noted, Leslie Manville. What else has she been in?
She's been in a whole bunch of stuff, okay. But my favorite movie with her in it, she's done a lot of stage, but is Saving Grace.
Oh, okay. I saw that.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. Anyway, she won an Olivier when it ran on the West End. And she says her Jocasta is chic, charming, and ambitious for her husband, an impeccable political wife. Hmm. So... interesting. It's very, very good reviews. Other critics, Chris Jones of the New York Daily News. Ike's work is really something. I can't recall ever previously being as riveted at a Greek tragedy. And my admiration for his show is increased by how Ike manages to stay remarkably true to so much of the original play while turning its dialogue into contemporary speech. The Wall Street Journal's Charles Isherwood, powered by two superlative performances with an impeccable supporting cast and a sleek design, Mr. Ike's Oedipus grips the attention firmly across two intermissionless hours.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, it's a lot. Like, they...
2 hours is too long.
Oh, you know what else she
I've been guilty of it, though, by the way.
Was really good in Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris.
I don't know that show, but
I love
the title.
Oh, my gosh, the book series is fantastic, and it's just... charming, charming movie. Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris, Lisa.
Okay, I love it. Anything that rhymes is good in my book.
It's a book series, but it's a movie. But yeah, Leslie's in that too.
The title rhymes.
Not funny like The Saving Grace is. The Saving Grace is
How is she in a book?
The book is now a movie.
Oh, okay.
It's a book series, but the first book in the series on Mrs. Harris is a movie.
Don't yell at me. Also opening at the public... was The Seat of Our Pants, which is a musical version of Thornton Wilder's Skin of Our Teeth.
Yes.
Directed by Leah Silverman, and it stars Michaela Diamond. Oh, where are the other people? Oh, Ruth, I knew they were here. Ruthie Ann Miles and Shuler Hensley. I mean, an amazing cast.
I was like, it's kind of a fantastic cast.
Yeah. It looks like a lot of fun. And it has been adapted by Ethan Lipton. And let's see what it says here. I don't know why I highlighted this. This review is written by Laura Collins Hughes for the New York Times. Amid the cyclone of stress that is our era, I defy you to find a more healing theatrical balm than this musical's buoyant and funny, dark and devastating first act. So this is a play in three acts. They say this, according to Laura Collins Hughes, the first act is great, second act less great, and the third act is too long.
Oh, I could have told you it was too long when you told me it was three acts.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to do that these days. Ruthie Ann Miles plays Mrs.
I feel like I've sat through more 3 hours and 50 minute shows. I don't know why, but I have.
Well, you know, it depends. Like I'm sure I've talked about it on the show when I went to go see The Ferryman, which I was not looking. I mean, I was looking forward to seeing the show, but it was 3 hours long, straight play. And Tracy's like shaking her head, didn't feel it. It was amazing. I would say that that's the exception rather than the rule.
Yeah, Stereophonic felt it.
Yep.
Purple Rain felt it, but didn't feel it. I don't know.
I think musicals are different. I'm just going to say that.
Purple Rain, still, I'm glad they got it down. It did not need to be 3 hours and almost 15 minutes.
Okay, we're going to see, we're going to turn this into a drinking game because you've mentioned that every show. Just saying.
Well, no, we were just, well, I was talking, I reviews know. Came out last week, so we
just
talked saying. About reviews,
and we, and
but
we,
now
and you
we're
saw
just
it the week before,
long,
now we're just talking about long shows.
Yeah, long shows.
Just so on, so we're going to turn into a drinking game.
Okay, but I talked
like
about
drink.
Stereophonic also.
I know.
It wasn't just that.
Okay, all right, but Stereophonic is not a good drinking game. Anyway, enough of that. The other thing that opened was the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee.
Yes.
The William Finn and Rachel Schenken musical. This was reviewed for the New York Times by Elizabeth Vincent Telly. She made it a New York Times critics pick. This is not one of my favorite musicals.
Oh, really?
How do other people feel? Yeah, other people love it. Not
I like
mine.
It. I don't love it, but I like it. I think it's fun.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
But I'm not like running home to turn it on or when it comes out, running to go see it. But it's fun. If someone's like, would you go? I'm like, all right, I go see that. That's fun.
Yeah.
I'll giggle.
Yeah. And hard to actually play because it's got adults playing kids. Mm-hmm. And it's hard not to jump into stereotype.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I don't know. If you get good people doing it.
I know. That's what I'm just saying. But it's hard to do. And
it's always a little different every time you see it. That's another bonus.
True, because we have
audience participation.
We have audience participation. We have four people from the audience that are chose to be spellers that get kicked out. Spoiler alert! They get kicked out. I think that because they're given words that are like impossible to spell or something. I don't remember. It was just done here in town by someone. Anybody remember who?
Round Rock.
Yeah, it was Penfold.
Penfold, yes. Mm-hmm. I did not get to go see it. But Jacob Rosenbaum, who is currently rehearsing for Leo Frank in Ground Floor Theater's groundbreaking production of Parade, choreographed it.
Nice.
Yeah. And Elizabeth Vincentelli was, even though she made it a critic's pick, wasn't really hot on the show itself. And she says, but the glue holding it all together is the score, which is rather fun.
It's a fun show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're all not very talkative today, so I'm just going to move on.
I don't know. Spelling Bee's not that exciting to me.
All right. I should say, because I'm supposed to, the opinions expressed here on Offstage and on the Air are not necessarily those of Co-op, its board of directors, its staff, underwriters, or volunteers. It's just my opinion. So did you know, well, let's just say this. Who's heard of the musical Early to Bed, written by Fats Waller?
I've heard of it, but I don't know it.
It's from 1943.
Yeah.
Very unknown. It has fallen out. There's no libretto. There's no score. There's no recording. And they.
So do they know it really happened?
Is it really?
It was on Broadway. So this was, I said, written by, and the only thing that Fats Waller wrote as a musical. He wrote the book and the music. And it played well, and he was going to play the lead character.
I didn't realize he wrote the book. Too.
But they that's fired funny. Him.
Oh, that's funny.
They didn't fire him. They just didn't hire him. There was a reason, and it's in the story somewhere, but I don't think I highlighted. Oh, here it was. But Waller, who was known as an unstoppable party animal, was generally regarded as too unreliable to show up for 8 performances a week. Uh-huh. So he didn't get the job.
I can't argue with that reasoning.
Yeah. So it went on Broadway in June of that year and then went on the road. And then Fats Waller died of influenza and alcoholism that following December. Mm. Yeah. But anyway, it sounds really interesting.
But why are you talking about
it? I'm talking about it because this guy McWhorter, who I, of course, didn't highlight his name, is reviving it. And
so he's writing a whole new show if there's nothing for him, no material for him to look at.
No, but there's enough stuff that he's getting. He's been able to get enough stuff. And he's mounting 2 performances of the show as concert at the Triad Theater in Manhattan, November 21st, which is in 2 days.
Well, how do you get enough stuff if there's no recordings, well, no sheet music, book?
I invite you to read the article because it's in there. He found stuff and he's been talking to people.
I think that falls under prove me wrong.
And he's talked with his...
then there is stuff, is what I'm saying.
Yep. Well, he's talked about his son... Maurice, Fats Waller's son, and his 1977 biography, talked about remembering packets of neatly typed lyrics, and he's getting stuff, he's getting material, and he's putting it all together.
So there is
and
stuff.
There's stuff, but it's not, there's no.
I'm just saying, that's bad reporting and misleading.
You
to
can't
say
go
there's
to,
nothing.
There isn't. There wasn't, and there now is because he put it all back together. You are a really
semantics.
Tough. You are a tough audience tonight.
I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, so go see that if you want. We did have a death in the entertainment
sad.
World. Sally Kirkland passed away. She was 84 years old. She was part, I did not know this about her. She's not known for theater. She's known for film and television. She did two Broadway shows in the 60s. She did Bicycle Ride. She was an understudy. And then she did Step on a Crack, also an understudy.
I know the show Step on a Crack.
You do? I don't know that show.
I don't know Bicycle Ride. That sounds like...
Bicycle Ride to Nevada. Excuse me. Oh. I didn't give you the whole title.
Okay. Intrigues me even more. That's there's a long bicycle so ride. Much. Yes.
Depends on
where she's coming from.
In her bio, she said she did a groundbreaking off-Broadway play in which she performed fully nude. I never could find exactly what the play was, but she was part of Andy Warhol's group back in the 60s.
There's not a lot of plays with people fully nude.
Not from the 60s.
I don't...
Calcutta, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. So it's interesting. So anyway, rest in peace, Sally Kirkland. And I thought I had her Wikipedia page on my thing, but I don't. All right, one more thing, I think. Oh, we had another opening. Tom Hanks. He did a show called This World of Tomorrow with your favorite, Kelly O'Hara.
I don't dislike Kelly O'Hara.
I say she's your favorite. So he plays a man from the future. He does time travel. And this is a new play that he wrote along with James Glossman. It's performing at The Shed. And it is directed by Kenny Leone.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite the pedigree as well. It's a time travel romance.
Yeah, not my jam.
No. It's like a period musical minus the songs. But it also has the kind of thing where you can't... it's got the Cinderella thing where he can't stay in that time frame. He's got to get back or else dire physical consequences ensue.
Oh,
they don't go
into
explaining what that is.
Pumpkin.
And also Ruben Santiago Hudson is also in it.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. We're going to move on. Oh, I do need to say, I promised we'd talk about Hamilton. The rights have been acquired by Concord Theatricals.
Yes.
And in 2 years, they're going to release for high schools.
They're working on the junior version now, but the other will be available before the junior. The junior's in.
It does not say that.
Maybe it
does not say that, this article. But
I'm
you could
just
be.
Letting you
I'm,
know.
I'm acknowledging that you tend to know more than I do.
But they're working on the cutting and editing of the junior.
I don't know how I'm going to feel about seeing those productions.
Yeah, not my jam.
Well, I don't know.
No, not my jam.
See it. All right, well, let's take a little break and we'll come back and talk to our guests about why they are here with us. We will go out with listening to Why We Like Spelling from the 25th Annual Putnam County.
Oh, you picked something from that. That's funny.
I did. Here we go.
We are fearless spellers.
We are back. You were listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Hello.
And let's reintroduce our guests from the City Theater's production of Other Desert Cities. We have the director of this piece, Tracy Arnold. Hi, Tracy.
Hi.
And one of the performers, Tim Blackwood.
Hello.
Hello.
So, Tracy, tell us about the show, Other Desert Cities.
Well, it's written by John Robin Bates. It was written and performed first in about 2011. It went to Washington first and then on to Broadway in 2012. It also... As Tim said just a while ago, it was nominated for a Pulitzer for the 2012 mm-hmm. Pulitzer. It's about a woman who comes home after 6 years on Christmas Eve, and she's a writer, and she's written a kind of a tell-all, a memoir. And
that never ends well.
No, that never ends well.
Well, and I play the father who is a retired... diplomat from the Reagan administration, an ambassador. So that's partially why we don't want a memoir of our lives put out.
Because partially. You're part of the Reagan administration?
Oh, yes.
I was,
okay.
Yes.
Oh, there's
right.
a lot of political...
But there's a family secret
yes.
that she's revealing.
Yes, so. Correct.
What's the family secret?
Can't tell you.
Oh, darn it.
Lisa.
Well, I asked it matter-of-factly. I thought it would just slide out.
Right.
That's great. So, Tim, tell us about the character that you play, other than... Tell us more about him.
Well, I mean, he
What's
he
his
is
name?
Just that. Lyman.
Lyman.
And he's the father. You know, the show consists of the father, the mother, the two siblings, brother, sister, and then my sister-in-law. So my wife's sister is in the show as well. And yeah, so I'm the patriarch of the family, I suppose. And I'm retired, Republican. My kids are liberals. So there's a little bit of that in there, but then there's also a little bit of a twist at near the end of the show. So it's
that
it's
we can't talk about.
Can't talk about. Talk but I, you know, the character's pretty steady throughout.
So. He's also an ex-actor.
Oh, that's right.
The character.
That's how I know. That's how I know Reagan. That's how I know Reagan. Yes. I used to do movies and television.
Oh, okay.
My character did.
Yeah.
Well, so this is. Did you bring this to City Theater? Or did...
Actually, I did in a way. Mm-hmm. I have to say, I directed it 10 years ago.
Where?
At Wimberley Playhouse.
Okay, I've heard of that place.
Yes, and I wanted to direct it for 10 years again, and I. I kind of, you know, brought it up to Andy Burkowski, who is the general manager and artistic director at City. And he took the bait. And so here we are.
Well, that's good. Well, you know, City Theater is nothing if not prolific. They have, he does, I don't know how he does so many shows in a season.
He does do a lot of shows in a season, but he's Andy.
He's Andy.
That's he's right. Andy.
So who else is, who are some of the other players? Who are your, some of your fellow actors?
Maureen Klein Slabaugh plays the mother, Polly, and Ashley. Oh my God, I can't remember Ashley's last name.
I call her Polly.
Yeah, we call her Brooke because that's her stage name. But I always forget the actors' names.
Asking you this question, I realize, I will admit, is unfair.
It's okay. I just call them the characters' names during rehearsal, and then it escapes me. No, she's wonderful. She plays Brooke, the daughter, the writer, and Peyton Trahan plays the son.
And Anne Hulsman.
Anne Hulsman. Yes, I'm so
plays
sorry.
The sister.
Plays the sister. Fabulous.
Wonderful cast. So cast of five.
Yes.
That's manageable.
It's great.
Yeah, it's a nice,
it's a single set, so it's you know, it's not a lot of movement.
It's so good because I've worked a lot of times on married sets. Not as good.
Is that to get me back for Oedipus?
Buford. Ashley Buford. Thank you, Ashley.
Oh, Ashley Buford. We love her. So what has your approach been? How have you been tackling this? Did you just basically redirect what you did 10 years ago, or
did you come
from a different angle?
I anticipated doing that at least a little bit, but when I cast these particular actors, I soon found out that they were not the same actors as that I worked with 10 years ago.
Amazing how that happens.
And I was not the same director. So it's a completely different show as far as I think. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful. It's great that City has taken on this kind of show. It's not an easy show to do,
right?
And it's not a popular show, but it's very important that the sensibilities of the show be seen and heard.
Do you suppose is there a reason why we're doing it at this point in time?
Well, there's a reason. I think because it's very relevant. Mm-hmm. It's from 2006. The time period is 2004. I'm sorry,
right.
And but. From then to today, the politics going on and anything having to do with family and different themes are very relevant.
Very relevant. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, amazing. And tell me about your design staff, anybody that you want to shout out in terms of the amazing work they're doing for y'all?
Yeah, well, Andy Burkowski and Jean always do the set construction and the design, the stage design. And I did the costumes, but I had an assistant named Molly Kirby, and she was fabulous.
We love Molly. She's been on the show several times.
Yes.
And Peyton did lights.
And Peyton Trahan, whose place Trip did lights for us.
It's just like a family affair.
It is.
So did somebody's father have a barn?
Almost.
Alpha can sing.
Now, y'all have already played 2 weeks of a 3-week run, correct?
Mm-hmm.
How's the first 2 weeks gone?
The shows have been fantastic. Mm-hmm. I've been to every one of them except for one, and they have gone beyond my expectations. Like I said, it's difficult sometimes to do theater like this. because people don't know it. And they might be a little nervous about coming into something, if, you know.
I think the title is recognizable, but it's like, if you had told me, do you know other desert cities? I go, well, yeah, but I don't know what it's about. Right. I don't know why I know it.
I know it because it had Stalker Channing and Judith Light and Stacey Keach, yes, like the original Peeps. And then even the Peeps, when it transferred and changed
still
over,
where
Judith Light came in, right?
Came in, for Linda Lavin.
Linda Lavin's part, yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
No.
You are a walking theater encyclopedia.
I mean.
Well, of other desert cities.
Yeah, of other.
No, she knows everything about everything.
I get fixated on weird stuff.
It's pretty amazing. Well, that's wonderful. Anything else that you want to talk about the show before I let y'all go?
Oh, well, I mean, from an acting standpoint, it's an interesting show to do because there's not really, like you said, you don't know the show.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of directions you can go with the characters. And so I think that's why every show is different, because there's no, you know, stereotyped version of the father that I'm aware of.
No.
So.
No, I don't think so. I think you're right on that.
I'm sure I'm much different than Stacey Keach was.
I don't know if anybody could be like Stacey Keach.
Do you want to bring the kiddos to this show? What's the age group? What's the age range here?
Not really. Not little kiddos, for sure. I would say high school on.
PG-13,
well, maybe? There's nothing that precludes it from a. There's no cussing or any kind of situation.
On.
It's just maybe boring.
Yeah, it might be boring to them because it does include, you know, adult themes.
Lots of talking. Well, wonderful. You're open now. When do you close?
And drinking.
The 23rd, next Sunday.
The 23rd.
And we have Thursday through Saturday, 8 o'clock shows, and then Sunday at 3.
Wonderful. Where can folks go to get more information?
They can go to citytheateraustin.org.
Great.
And find out anything they need to know.
Wonderful. Thank you all so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank you.
Wonderful. That was Tracy Arnold and Tim Blackwood of City Theaters. Production of Other Desert Cities, playing now through November 23rd. For more information, you may visit citytheateraustin.org. And this is from the show Far From Heaven. It's called Secrets.
Oh.
I've been living with an awful secret.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Hello.
Dun-da-da-dun.
Dun-da-da-dun.
We'll just zip through. I didn't have anything specific to highlight locally. Anything you want to highlight?
Of stuff getting ready to open.
I know
there.
That's on our list. Is there anything you want to highlight? There were some interesting things that I saw. I need to say, and this is why we do the disclaimer, because I have a beef to pick with the atxtheater.org ticket site.
Oh.
So some companies, instead of saying my show is playing from October 1st through the 13th, they're putting in individual shows. So I don't see on the little, when it says the show, it doesn't say a range of dates. I have to go onto their website to see when they open and when they close, because they just put individual dates as individual shows.
Yeah, and if you enter stuff in there, remember, you were like, it's not in there. I'm like,
still,
but it is in there.
I checked today, it's not.
And it's in the e-blast, so
it's in the e-blast. I saw it in the e-blast,
but it's not
on their site.
But it was entered on that site. So that, yeah.
I know. It might be, because I know if you don't say, because when I post something, if I don't do exactly the right thing, if I don't do one particular cell the right way, it doesn't go through. And it's like either the city or the zip code. It's weird. It's weird. But anyway, that's my beef. And it's not ATX Theater's fault. It's the fault of the people.
But see, it's run by Event, and those event listings are still showing up on other places that use Event. So it is something with the way it's connecting with ATX.
Right. There. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the single versus the range thing. And that has to do with how people are entering it. Anyway, let's go through our list. And I'm going to start because you've said this yourself the past 2 weeks.
Okay.
And we're starting with Zach Theater. They have a Charlie Brown Christmas, and it plays through the 28th of December.
Well, I'm also going to add to this, opening this week at Zach Theater would be A Christmas Carol opening here. Tonight starts previews, and it runs through the 3rd of January.
Also wasn't on ATX Theater.
But it's...
Or now playing Austin, by the way, because I checked them both.
Yeah. No, it's in there. I went through and double-checked and went down the rabbit hole because stuff has not been showing up on ATX Theater.
Okay, we're going to keep going. Vortex Rep has Dora Gently Used Dream Store. They were on the show last week. They're playing through the 23rd.
Broad Theater with a doctor's visit. They were just on, and they're playing now through the 26th at Hyde Park Theater.
City Theater, we just now, this very second, talked to them. Other yes. Desert Cities plays through this weekend, closes on the 23rd.
We're about to talk to them. This would be Color Arc Productions with storytelling stories about unique jobs. And that would be manana, tomorrow, the 20th.
Walking Shadow Shakespeare has Caesar plus Anthony plus Cleopatra, plays through November 22nd.
Opening this weekend, Austin Playhouse has Peril on the Alps.
Dun, dun, dun.
New Stephen Dietz with Hercule Poirot. That is opening on the 21st and runs through the 28th of December.
Trinity Street Players has Nora, in parentheses, a dollhouse, plays November 19th through 23rd.
We also have... Broadway and Austin's Beauty and the Beast opening up December 2nd through the 14th. This is this big new 25th anniversary
Beauty and the Beast. Yeah. So with that, you not only get the Beast, but you also get the Beauty.
You get it all.
You get it all.
Dancing plates, a whole nine yards.
Yep.
You can be our guest.
I saw Patrick Page.
He'd be fun. Was he Lumiere?
He was.
Yeah, that's what I thought. He was Lumiere.
And then we went backstage afterwards and looked at all the... That was back when... I've never been a big fan of Beauty and the Beast, but the costumes and the scenery, just gorgeous.
Really cool. Yeah.
But they don't hold up over time.
What do you mean?
Oh. I think they have to be... I don't know.
Well,
they've
refit. This is a whole new revamped 25th anniversary tour. So.
Okay. Well, good. Well, we can check it out.
Yes,
and tell them.
Yes.
We are actually going to have them on the show, I believe, next week or maybe the week after. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Grackle Jack Productions has The Exmasist. It's a play on The Exorcist, but it's got Xmas in parentheses.
I saw that. I was like, it's a fun play on word.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Interested and curious.
But they will
be
on the show, and we can ask them ourselves.
Fantastic.
It plays November... No, December 11th through the 20th at Crashbox.
Tex Arts is doing White Christmas. We love that movie, Lisa.
We do.
That is running the 21st of November through the 21st of December.
Where?
At
Tex Arts. Sorry.
Tex Arts?
Sorry, no. I got confused about my own thing. You know what I'm dreaming of?
What?
A White Christmas.
Snow.
Written by a Jew.
Snow.
Georgetown.
It won't be long before we're going to get some snow.
Georgetown Palace Theater. I tell you, I love the movie. Not crazy about the stage play.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Yeah. But you know what? The music's so good, I still have a good time.
I do.
Yes,
I love the music. Georgetown Palace Theater has Frozen playing from the 21st through, I don't think this is a typo, through February 1st. A long run.
That is a long run. You're missing one on here.
Please.
You got the... this opens around when some of these are opening. Penfold Theater's doing a Tuna Christmas.
Yeah. That's a little later than I thought, but I didn't
have December 11th and stuff opening.
Okay.
That's all around there.
All right. Penfold Theater's got some stuff. I got all this information from atxtheater.org and Now Playing Austin. Auditions are the Alchemy Theater has the Robber Bridegroom. Those auditions are on December 22nd. Not published yet, but because I have a contact, I know this is going to happen. Ground Floor Theater is having auditions for Yellowface on December 8th.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. You can get information about Alchemy on ATX Theater, and you'll get information on Yellowface as soon as I post it, which should be in the next day or so.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Today in theater history.
Tell me about the stuff that happened.
Let's see. We have, we'll start with the birthdays. We have four of them.
People were born. People were born.
Savion Glover.
Savion Glover. That's a good birthday.
Alice and Janney.
Ooh,
we have lots of good birthdays. Yeah. Rob Ashford.
Ooh.
And Adam Driver.
Dude, that's a wild.
And look at this picture of Adam Driver. He looks 12.
I think he is like 12 in this photo.
Here, oh my,
that's ridiculous. He is like 12 in that photo.
Oh, he
doesn't have jawbones yet.
No. Doesn't have anything. No. He looks 12. All right. We had lots of shows open. We had I'm Not Rappaport, which opened in 1985. My roommate, Mark Baltazar, was the stage manager when it was off-Broadway.
Oh.
With the same cast. The Old Neighborhood opened in 1997.
I don't know that.
I don't know that either, and I did not look it up. On the Town, Revival, 1998.
Definitely was a revival. Well, you hadn't said the year, so maybe it was.
Yep.
98, definitely a revival.
Revival. The Next Room opened in 2009. A Christmas Story, the musical, opened in 2012.
I forgot that became a musical. Didn't they even put that on the TV for us, too?
I don't know. I've never seen the movie.
Yeah, with the Matthew Broderick. And I think Anna Geister might have been in that one. I have to remember.
And Swept Away opened last year at this time.
Remember that Swept Away was last year. Was that only last year?
It was last year.
Wow.
And we'll hear a little piece of music from it.
The set looked cool.
Ain't No Man from Swept Away. We'll be right back.
Okay.
There ain't no man can't save me. There ain't no man.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and on the Air, Lisa and Nicole. And we are welcoming from Color Arc Productions, the founder and artistic director of Color Arc and resident playwright and jack of all trades. There's nothing she doesn't do.
Everything she does.
Welcome back, Christine Wong.
Hello. Thanks for having us back.
How are you?
Great.
And I feel like it's deja vu. Because I think that maybe the last time I've had you, and no, it wasn't the last time I had you on, but the last time we were doing the stories, we also had your mother, and we're fortunate enough to have her back. Tien Huang, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Better now that you're in our studio.
Absolutely.
Very good.
Yep. So you're doing, I have my cut and paste error. It says different stages, murder of Dan Aykroyd, but you're doing stories about unique jobs with an all-star cast.
Roger Aykroyd too, not Dan.
This is your third annual storytelling show.
That's right.
Is it always about unique jobs?
No, the first one was about stories about comfort food.
Okay. Oh, right. I remember.
And then the second one, stories about birth order.
Mm-hmm.
And then now it's stories about unique jobs.
Unique jobs. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you've got two short films that you're showing.
That's right, and we're also celebrating our 10th anniversary.
Mazel tov.
And our first year was at Ground Floor Theater.
It was indeed. I remember the day. Yeah. I remember the day we set you free.
Yay!
Yeah, your first show was at Ground Floor Theater.
Yeah, and so we've come a long way, and now we're doing theater and film. And so we're screening our very first short that we've ever produced, Pizza My Heart.
Yeah, and written by whom?
Written by me. Directed
Starring
by
whom?
Me and Vanessa Hunt.
I know.
Directed by Elizabeth V. Newman.
Oh, good. Lovely.
Original music by Tyler Mabry and co-lyrics by me.
Yeah.
It's a lot of wonderful Austin artists who can do theater and film.
Yeah.
And we also have a distributor that we'll announce tomorrow, and I'll tell you after we go off air. It's really exciting.
That is great. Yeah, it's great news. Does it have? Do you have showings scheduled for it somewhere?
We're going to have a release next year, and it'll be available worldwide to stream on a really great platform.
Oh, cool!
I like
platforms. Mm-hmm. And what is it called?
Pizza My Heart.
Pizza My Heart.
Yeah, it's about a pizza telegram singing delivery specialist who delivers comfort food and a song to customers, but that day she delivers it to a heartbroken 12-year-old girl.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's an evergreen story.
It is indeed. And you're playing the delivery driver.
Yeah, it's short for a PTSD specialist.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was trying to get that. I knew it was in there somewhere, and there it came. And then tell us about you've got great storytellers. Tell us about your storytellers.
Yeah. So the tagline is a dominatrix, a failed nun, a distinguished leader, a high school mascot, and a pizza telegram singing delivery specialist walk into AFS Cinema. Talk about their unique jobs.
Tien, you're telling a story. Now, you don't have to tell the story, but I'm curious what story you're telling. It's not the same story you told last year, is it?
It's different.
What is it? Just tell us about it.
Okay, I just want you to know that I always aim to become a nun, But the family need me home, so the superior sent me home because I'm the eldest in the family. My family has 9 children.
Wow.
My parents
and you're the oldest.
Children. I'm the oldest.
Mazel tov.
So then my family was poor and they really need me home working to support the family. So I go back and working in the office. I meet my husband. We get married and now we have 5 children.
There you go. That's and Christine fantastic. Is one of them.
Yes.
And you have a grandchild. Are you proud of your, I'm assuming you have other grandchildren.
Yes, I have 10 grandchildren now.
10 grandchildren. But how are you, is Vanessa your favorite grandchild?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Good answer. Good answer. Well, that sounds amazing. So you are the failed nun. That's good.
Yes, yes.
I think, are you proud? That's a good thing. You could write a musical.
Oh.
We could call it The Sound of Music.
I like that. The Sound of Music. I like it.
So that's great. So what are tell us, Christine, about some of the other storytellers and the stories they're going to be telling.
So Christine Sheely is the dominatrix. And it was interesting because we had a run through at my house on Saturday.
I saw pictures on social media.
I cooked dinner and then the storyteller shared with each other. It's usually the first time they meet each other. And at the end, we all become family, you know, and it's a really great warm up for the show because everyone's rooting for each other. And after Christine Sheely did her her story, Mom was like, "What does she do again?" And I was like, "A dominatrix," and I was explaining it to her, and Mom said, "She sounds like a social worker."
In many ways,
In many ways, it is.
Yeah. And then the way Christine tells the story, it's so healing, it's so nurturing, it's not cliche of what you think. You know, how Hollywood has projected it. It is, she tells it in such a loving way.
Mm.
And so it's a really special story. We have Michelle Alexander, who was the mascot of the Round Rock.
I was trying to think who the mascot would be, and I did not think it was Michelle.
Yes, Michelle. She was Rocky the
Dragon. I was like, now that you say that, I see that, but don't see that. But see that, yeah.
We were talking about it in the backstage of Wanna Play when we were in the play together. And she was talking about mascot camp. I didn't even know there was a thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was just hilarious. And then that's when I was like, we need to do the storytelling show is going to be about this and you're going to be in it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Sounds wonderful. We're kind of running out of time. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the final. It ends with a work in progress film.
Yeah. So the very first story is about comfort food. Mom told her story about when she was in Vietnam. She didn't have her parents didn't have money for a toy. So she made toys out of food. Like she saw sweet potatoes and she made a little family of pigs. And after she played with them and loved them, she ate them.
Right? Eat them and not feel guilty.
And so from that story, I am in production right now with a hybrid animated live action nonfiction short. And it goes through 4 acts. Act 1 is stop motion with the anthropomorphic food animals. Act 2 is the evacuation. It's black and white charcoal and painting. Act 3 is stop motion, but she goes now and creates a new life in New Orleans where the food comes to life in like grounded dishes. And Act 4 is a Thanksgiving feast. That 1 minute with live action and rotoscope animation is what we're going to show a sneak peek of tomorrow at AFS Cinema.
Oh, that's cool.
That is wonderful. So when does this all happen?
AFS Cinema tomorrow, Thursday, November 20th. We can mingle in the lobby at 6, but doors to the theater open at 6:40. Show starts at 7. We'll be done at 9. You should be in bed by 9:30.
Great. Where can folks go to get more information about this?
ColorArcProductions.com.
Wonderful. Well, Christine and Tien, thank you so much for joining us on Offstage and on the Air.
You're welcome.
Sounds like a wonderful program. And I'd be there if I wasn't in rehearsal.
Yeah. I'll show you the link. I'll show you the little...
Love it. I would love it. Okay, that was Christine Wong and Tien Wong of Color Art Productions of stories about unique jobs playing on November 20th at AFS Cinema. For more information, you may visit colorarcproductions.com. And in order of your short film, this is Rest in Pizza from Mexican Pizza the Musical.
I go beans. I need meat. I need a show with the sauce.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
We are here.
What a fun!
But we're about to say goodbye.
We're about to say goodbye. You know, because as
Au revoir,
as normal, we are running late. And we are going to have you all stand by for Tracy Schultz, who is going to be telling you what's new, because he's next.
He knows what's new.
He does know what's new. And this is an interesting thing. I did not hear about this, and maybe you did.
What?
Were you a fan of the Griswolds and the Vacation series?
We talked about this on air.
We did?
Yeah, because one of its out-of-town premiere dates was in Houston.
Okay, well, what we're talking about is the Griswolds Broadway Vacation.
And yes, a very big, big Griswold fan in our family. Griswolds, okay. Big time.
Well, they have just, they did a concept album with, oh my God, I cannot remember who it is, and it's not in their Wikipedia page, but with some big names. And we're going to listen to...
I feel like some of the School of Rock people were in it.
Maybe. We are going to listen to We Are the Griswolds from the Griswolds Broadway Vacation. Stand by for Tracy Schultz and What's New. We'll be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye, everybody.
Ciao.
No need to panic. Breathe and take it slow. You only need tickets to the hottest Broadway show. But I can do it. This trip cannot be another epic fail where I let down my family.
Oh, poor guy. He just picked up his seats for Wilson.
Really? I'm not a psycho, but I'm not gonna lie to get the